What's Trending.
Number one on What's Trending. Well, the Royals have lost four in a row. They're off today after getting swept by the Detroit Tigers, the first home sweep of the season. So where do things stand right now? Nine games to go. They got three this weekend at Kauffman, the final three regular season home games. Hopefully not the final three home games, period. They'll play the Giants, and they got the Nationals on the road before the final three in Atlanta against the Braves. The Royals 82-71 right now. They still have a team in between them and the Tigers. I know the Tigers are the focus of everybody right now. Understandably,
they're only half game back of a wild card spot. That's why.
But the Twins, I still think, are in way more jeopardy of falling out of this thing entirely.
They're still two games back of the Royals, right? So, or game and a half back of the Royals as it sits right now. So certainly they are at a much bigger risk than that. But yeah, I understand. Because what happened was, a week ago, I didn't think it was going to be a sweat to the finish line. And now it's a sweat.
Oh,
by the way, go
up.
Giants today. They take on the Orioles for the final game of their series, having won the first three games of that series. It's really unfortunate. Had the Royals won two or three, they'd be a half game back with a chance to be tied for the top wild card spot, which means home games, but that's revisionist history. None of that happened. The Royals lost, so now they're going to be in a sweat. Next up on Watch, trending announced by Steve Sarkisian. Arch Manning will make his very first collegiate start against UL Monroe coming up this Saturday. Obviously very good in filling in for the injured Quinn Ewers a week ago, but Sark says Arch Manning is going to be the starter for the number one ranked team in the country, Texas. That's what stands out about it. They're the number one ranked team in the country. Normally, they're not going through quarterback issues or, you know, injuries at that time. Arch Manning looked pretty good in that first one. See, they just got two really good quarterbacks
in Texas.
Is that what's going on? Texas,
that their backup is only Arch Manning.
It was the last time they won something.
It's really tough.
It's like the Yankees just having like one Soto if Aaron Judge goes out for a little bit. But also, they haven't won anything in so damn long. Whatever, Texas. I guess you can be good for a little bit. Prove it in the college football playoff before I make a big deal about it.
Next up on What's Trending, Thursday Night Football. It's an AFC East showdown, if we can call it a showdown. Patriots at the
Jets.
Go
Patriots. You know, screw the Jets.
Patriots 6-point underdogs now in New York as the Jets are having their home opener. This is their home opener. The last time Aaron Rodgers played in that stadium in a game was the four snaps that he had the Achilles injury.
Well, truth is, I don't have anything against the Jets. I'm actually just rooting for it for the same reason I'd vote for other things in the AFC. The Patriots winning seems like it helps the AFC and the Chiefs more than it does the other way around. Chiefs don't play the Jets this year, so we won't have a bet with Vinny Pasquantino.
Maybe come playoff time.
I think that that's still part of it. Next up on What's Trending, Lions head coach Dan Campbell says he's selling his home amid security concerns after his home address was leaked online during last season.
That sucks.
He said, this neighborhood's everything. There's plenty of space on it. He said, the home's beautiful. Just figured I'm going to have to move. So Dan Campbell says security issues after that got leaked online. Said that there was harassment following the Lions' loss from the NFC Championship game to San Francisco last year. So he had to file multiple police reports. So now he's having to leave his home.
That's pathetic. That sucks.
As you remember, Mahomes had to leave his house because it got leaked where he was living as well.
Yeah, news outlet.
Come on, guys. Just let people live in their house.
Yeah. My guess is he's moving to an area, Campbell, that's much more private and gated, et cetera, that can be more secure. But that sucks that somebody actually I know he has the means to
Travis
move.
Travis Kelce had to move, too.
Yeah. Yeah. I understand we're talking about individuals that have the means to move. It doesn't mean it's still a pain in the ass and scary for some of them and their safety and things like that. All right. That's what's trending here on Cody and Gold. Let's go out to the hotline. Welcome in former Chiefs wide receiver, member of the Chiefs broadcast team. You hear him on 96.5 The Fan this Sunday night as the Chiefs are in Atlanta taking on Kirk Cousins and company. Dayton Hughes joins us thanks to Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Kansas City. Discover the benefit of blue. I guess I'll ask you, did you ever have any teammates pre-social media? I'm not trying to age you, I promise, but pre-social media have issues with this kind of stuff we were just discussing with people knowing where people are living and having to move?
I think you are trying to age me, man. I knew you were going to try to slip that in there. Nah.
When they had to transfer this via Morse code to let everybody know, Danon?
Yeah, they had to fax the addresses to people back then, and you had to press 9 first before you sent that fax. We didn't have that issue. I was just mentioning the other day what the difference is now. Yeah, we had some success, specifically in the regular season, during my years as a player here in Kansas City, but it seemed like we were much more accessible. And I was talking to someone the other day about the difference in times. Like, everyone knew where we would all be after the games. They knew where we would all be on Tuesday nights, Friday nights. It was kind of the same. We traveled in groups, and it seems like a little different now. So I feel like we were much more accessible. I don't know if that made us much more, acceptable or engaging in regards to not having the fans or anybody that poses as a fan harass us. I think you could have found anyone. Everyone knew where Derek Thomas lived. You knew where, the guys that lived on the plaza. You knew where we lived out in Lee Summit. And we never had any of those issues.
When you look at what you're going to see in the field on Sunday, what do you make first, I guess, because we were just talking about it, of left tackle? I was a little surprised. I wasn't surprised he got benched on Sunday. Trey Hendrickson was beating him pretty bad, and they made the call to try to win the game by going to Wanye. In typical cases, Danen, I feel like Andy just comes in on Monday and be like, no, it's Kingsley's job, and he'll be the starter, but he needed a breather. Couldn't have the man lose his confidence. They haven't told us who's going to start on Sunday. Are you surprised?
I'm not surprised they haven't said it. I'd be surprised if they haven't decided. Okay. Part of me understands that, in that situation, which is very rare for a lot of the listeners out there, you don't normally see offensive linemen rotated out of the game. If you look at the reports for snap counts every single week, it's usually always 100% for the offensive linemen and the quarterback, unlike any other position on the field. So it was a unique situation. I give them credit for doing what was necessary to get the win at the time. I would guess, if I was a betting man, I would guess that Kingsley would be back at the left tackle position. I feel like if you've gone throughout the offseason, preseason, OTAs, training camps, etc., and pretty much from end to end, he's been the guy at that tackle position. Wanye Morris didn't do enough to warrant walking into the season as that at that position at the left tackle. I just don't know if you give up on that after two games going against two really strong defenses, particularly on the edge. So I would be surprised if he's not back in there. If he's not back in there, I would definitely be surprised if he's not in there for the rest of the season. If you feel like he is the future at that position, you gotta roll with them. I understand the circumstances dictated differently for that game, but I feel like there's enough mileage left in Kingsley and enough confidence that's garnered by him or has been so far that you definitely give him another shot.
Because what does that do mindset-wise? Because I think on one hand, some people might look at a player getting benched mid-game, I should say, this early in the season and say, okay, is that player going to go and pout and woe is me? There's the other side that a player uses as motivation. From your perspective, how do you think that plays out?
Barbecue or mildew. Either going to get hot or you're going to go and suck your thumb next to a tree. I mean, that's really what it comes down to. And sometimes you put guys in that position to see which one they'll do.
Sure.
You hope for the best. You wonder. But you also, I don't think guys, until they get in that pressure cooker, you really know what they're made of. Now, everything that I've seen from Kingsley, how he handles himself, some of the edge that he showed in training camp and the fight and the grit that he has, tells me he's going to be a barbecue guy. He's going to be a guy that's going to step up and want people to know that what they saw so far is not indicative of who he is or what type of player he is. But I think there are times it could be a 12-year veteran coming at the end of his career. It could be a rookie, a runny-nosed rookie that may look like he's in over his head. Whatever it is, the great players, the really, really good players that play in professional sports come to a crossroads at some point. And it's usually a mental crossroad, not necessarily a physical crossroad. And I believe that Kingsley has everything in him, has a full gas tank, that he's going to come out on fire. And that's what I think we're hoping for. But you also got to consider the alternative at any time as well.
Danen, are you worried about Travis Kelce? I've made my stance very clear on this show that I don't think he'll ever age. He's off to a slow two-game start. But I think last week you could pretty well explain it away as he'd have 55 more yards and a touchdown if Trey Smith does a better job blocking towards the end zone and a couple of penalties don't go against the Chiefs while Travis Kelce was doing his job. Which part of you thinks that Travis Kelce won't continue to produce, if any?
Yeah, I don't think that's going to be the case. I think Travis Kelce, justifiably so, is garnering a lot of attention. We've seen on multiple occasions, not just third and long or in the red zone, but we've seen on multiple occasions coming out from the 20, crossing the 50, where there's two, three guys that are geared up to bracket him. And basically what the defenses so far have been designed to do is, let's see who else can beat us. And Rashee Rice has been the guy that's really stepped up as far as consistently. Isaiah Pacheco, obviously, as well. I can envision that the Atlanta Falcons are probably going to employ a little bit of that same mindset. And let's take away Travis Kelce. Let's scheme Rashee Rice. And let's see if this rookie running back or this veteran running back that hasn't been with the team very long can run the ball effectively and not make them one-dimensional. And if they become one-dimensional, who's going to be that other receiver that we're going to have to worry about or that can make consistent plays? So I feel like it's par for the course right now that Travis Kelce gets a lot of that attention. It's just up to us to configure ways, more creative ways to get him the ball, but then also rely on the other parts of the package that'll get us a win. And if that's Xavier Worthy, so be it. If it's going to be Juju, heck, if it's going to be Carson Steele now, somebody's got to step up. But I don't think what we've seen so far from Travis is any indication that he's beyond his time and that he's on the downhill of his career.
We're talking to former Chiefs wide receiver Danan Hughes. You'll hear him part of the broadcast Sunday Night Football right here on your home for the Chiefs, 96.5 The Fan. You mentioned Carson Steele a little bit there. Let's dive deeper into the running back situation. It looks like he'll be the guy, at least on the depth chart, starting on Sunday. But how do you think they play this thing out? And Kareem Hunt on the practice squad, do you think there is a chance he's somehow active?
I don't know if he'll be active right away. Maybe because he wasn't with the team up until this point, and you have the bye week coming up in 2 weeks, you might try to carry him through that to gain some confidence for the team to gain confidence with him, and then also see what Carson Steele and Samaje Perine can do as a 1-2 punch. One reason why I thought that they would go with Carson as the starter is because they put him back in even after that fumble. They had him in some really pressure cooker situations, and he stepped up and he made the play. So it shows the confidence that Matt Nagy and Andy Reid have in him. And I feel like they're going to, you know, allow him to carry the load of, or at least the bulk of the load, this Sunday night against the Falcons down there. To me, he's done a nice job. Yeah, the fumble, you'd love for him to secure the ball a little stronger in traffic like he did, but that's part of the growing pains in the NFL. Guys weren't ripping at the ball like that at UCLA or in the Pac-12. It's different, and sometimes you got to go through some of those growing pains, but I like the acquisition of Kareem Hunt. Hopefully we'll see him at the podium, and you know, I'm sure he's going to get the question about what's different between his first stint and this stint, and he has a mature answer for that, and then he can start with a clean slate and hopefully lead us to that third ring in a row.
Danan, I feel like every time we ask people about rule changes or possible rule changes, they just side with whatever helps the position they played or currently play. Mm-hmm. Do you agree with Mel Kiper that they should eliminate the too high safety to try to make offense come back in the NFL?
No, that's the dumbest thing ever. Already enough rules in place that hamper and handicap the defense. Let's not add to that they can only play certain defenses. Like, this is not Tecmo Bowl back in 1989. Like, you can be creative on defense, and if two high safeties is going to be the play, then the quarterbacks have to take the onus of nickel and diamond downfield, not trying to make the big play, and force them out of the two deep zone. Like, we've seen success against two deep. Yes, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers with Warren Sapp and John Lynch made it really popular, the Tampa 2, but they only won one Super Bowl. Like, it's not like they were, you know, they were gangbusters for 10 years plus, and they won, you know, multiple Super Bowls. Like, the two deep coverage can be broken, and we can be an offense. And I'm sure with Matt Nagy, and especially the mad scientist of offense and Andy Reid, can come up with ways and plays to break down a two-deep zone. Like, I don't believe – I think that's just, you know, Mel Kiper trying to stretch the envelope a little bit, but you don't take away options for a defense from a defensive structure perspective, maybe from a hitting perspective or, you know, lowering.
We used to give a
five-yard
– but yeah, like now you have to get five-yard cushion, sure.
Exactly, but from a scheme – No, I totally disagree.
Yeah, I'm with you there. One last thing for Danan Hughes, former Chiefs wide receiver. When you look at the Falcons offense, we know they had maybe a season saving type of drive there against Philadelphia. Kirk Cousins, though, even admitted after, he's not 100% post Achilles. I feel like this is where Spags will dial up the blitz even more with what is, I think, a statue in the pocket.
Yeah, I think it's going to be smart to get him antsy in the pocket. When you talk about not being 100%, especially with anything around your legs, it's only human nature that you're going to have a little happy feet. You don't want guys falling on you. You don't want to have to make sudden movements as far as exiting the pocket. So it behooves us to be able to make it a crowded throw for him in the pocket. And also recognize that Joe Burrow is very mobile. Lamar Jackson is the most mobile quarterback that we've probably seen since Mike Vick. And Kirk Cousins is the antithesis of that.
Right.
Like, he's going to be where he's going to be. And we're not going to have a controlled rush like we saw in the last 2 weeks with George Karloftis and Mike Dana. I feel like those guys will be able to, as long as we win on first down. And I know that the popular thing is always talking about winning on third down. I get that. But if you went on first down against this type of team, then every down after that becomes predictable. What they'll do on second down, you'll see a high dose of running plays on second down if you're able to stop them and run a pass on first down because they don't want to be in third and long. So you see offenses have a tendency, especially like the Falcons, they'll run the ball with Bijan on second and long to hopefully get into a third and more manageable situation. But if you're able to win on first down, you make every subsequent down after that more predictable. And if you can get them and stick them in that third and long, then that's when we'll see some action from Spags and our defense and our blitz package.
Danan Hughes, former Chiefs wide receiver. You'll hear him, Mitch Holthus, Josh Klingler, Dan Israel on the call right here on 96.5 The Fan. Enjoy Atlanta this weekend.
All right, fellas, we'll do. We'll come home 3-0. We better.
Well, yes, that's exactly right. Danan Hughes, former Chiefs wide receiver, joining us here on the show. He joins us every Thursday at 12:10. Thanks to Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Kansas City. Discover the benefit of blue. I didn't want to. I already gave him a hard time at the beginning of the interview. I wasn't going to ask him if he was going to have any wings or anything at Atlanta.
No, I was staying away.
Was staying away from that.
Don't get Danan in trouble.
That's why I stayed away.
I appreciate you not bringing up Magic City to him. There's no reason to do that.
No reason to do that at all.
Look, the way we talk about the players, I think it's probably, this is one of those easily diagnosable games, in my opinion. Don't let Bijan Robinson and Kyle Pitts completely destroy your defense, and you'll probably be fine. I'm at the point now, I will say, that nobody's number one wide receiver is going to scare me going into a matchup. They better prove that.
Yeah, you got Trent McDuffie, man. He's unbelievable.
Trent McDuffie is only getting targeted a handful of times a game anyway. And in those games, he's let up less than 30 yards total. I think it's actually less than 25 yards total. They're straight up not throwing
at him. It's 100 coverage snaps, which leads all corners through two games. He's been targeted 7 times, 3 catches for 26 yards.
7 times. 7 times he's been targeted for 20, what did you say, 7 yards?
26.
26 yards. One was over the middle, I remember, in the first week of the game, the first week of the season. That's it. Like, Drake London's not going to scare me. I'm sorry. It's just not going to happen. I don't care about anybody's. And, you know, obviously the Chargers don't have, like, a murderer's row of wide receivers anyway. But, like, just go through the Chiefs schedule and you can find the toughest, badass wide receiver that exists. Let's say Debo's back by the time, and he probably should be. Or Ayuk or anybody else when they face the 49ers. Or Godwin or Evans or a million other guys. I don't care. Your number one guy's not going to beat the Chiefs. Because Trent McDuffie's going to be covering him at least half the time. Because of the times he was covering Jamar Chase, you remember those stats too, he covered him about 60% of the time. Jamar Chase had 1 catch for 4 yards. 1 for 4. He was non-existent. Clamps, right? It's over. And so, like, when we talk about the game, yeah, I'm worried about Bijan and I'm worried about Kyle Pitts. Because I've heard people make the same suggestions, which is roll Justin Reed into more tight end coverage instead of have Nick Bolton do it. But in the last game, I feel like I was the only person. Justin Reed was getting beat by the tight ends in the last game.
Hurt. Yeah.
He didn't look good against them. So, like, that's not a solution. Chanel's the solution. He might, I think other than Chris Jones, you can make, or Trey McDuffie, damn it. Okay. Fine. Either way, I think you can make an argument that Leo Chanel's probably been one of the best defensive players for the Chiefs. Third best, fourth best, whatever.
Yeah, no,
I can't say first impressive. Or second because Chris Jones and Trent McDuffie exist.
And Carl Loftus has had a very good start to the season, too. That's what, he's in the top five, though, no question.
But his pressure rate's actually, Carl Loftus' pressure rate's kind of low still, even though he has shown up on screen for some sacks a couple of times because he's the never quit on the play guy. But he's been such a valuable member and there's solutions down the road, but... Yeah, number one wide receiver, like, oh, no, here comes Drake London. I don't care. Maybe I'll have to eat these words. Maybe on Monday, Drake London will be the reason why the Chiefs didn't win this game. But I don't think it'll be because Trent McDuffie's covering him. I'll say that. If Drake London takes over, it's because they schemed him to go anywhere but near Trent McDuffie. I also just decided I don't care about him getting interceptions anymore.
Well, team, we know the answer why.
He's not getting it. The stat you just gave, he just referenced seven times in two games.
Teams aren't throwing his way. He has fewer opportunities than any other corner in football to get a pick. They're not throwing your... He can't get an interception if they're throwing on the other side of the field. It is not possible.
Isn't this a conversation with Sauce, too? Because Sauce only has a couple of them.
That Jets defense just hasn't been good. They're also... they thought they had Hassan Reddick, and he continues, right? He's still just sitting on the sideline, losing $800,000 a week. Doesn't care.
Nope.
Must be nice.
That is so weird. We had the whole thing last year with Chris Jones, but this is weird.
It's going to cost him $16 million to sit out the entire year, and then his contract that he's currently not playing under would still be valid for next year. So he'd be right back into the same situation, I guess maybe closer to the trade deadline, but obviously the Jets are willing to play this game of chicken with Hassan Reddick, and... At the moment,
I still don't understand, though. You traded for him. You knew he wanted a new deal. Like, you traded for him, and he's not played a single snap for you.
Yeah. I mean, when you traded for him, I can't believe you didn't already have the deal in place.
I just don't give up
the assets that they're asking for unless I have that deal in place. That's all.
Coming up next, we'll get to the random question of the day and right back into the Royals, in particular, what lies ahead. And look, it's fair to be nervous. It's fair to be a little scared. We'll look at that next. Back here on Cody and Gold on 96.5 The Fan. Here in about a half hour, we'll get you set for Fantasy Football Week 3, including tonight's Thursday night football game. Patriots, Jets, who to start, who not to start, waiver wire pickups, guys that still might be out there. Paul Charchian of GuillotineLeagues.com going to join us for his regular visit coming up at 1 o'clock. It'll be good to check in with him. Want to ask him, fantasy-wise, the running back position in Kansas City. Like, how do you go in with that and have any confidence if you're someone that's starting Kareem Hunt or... Carson Steele,
I think you're just guessing and you're desperate a little bit. If you've got better choices or safer plays, I don't know that that's not the way I'd go, but Charch is the fantasy football expert. I assume he is better at fantasy football than me as he does it.
He's in like 500 leagues. Yeah, he's in like 500 leagues this year.
He told us week one, I think he said, what did he say, 12?
Maybe more.
I don't.
That's crazy.
Such a crazy.
I'm overwhelmed with just doing five this year.
Five is a lot of leagues.
It's more than I've ever done. It's too many. Like, we're doing a couple...
But three of them are guillotine, right, for you? So.
Yes. So in a weird way, it's like, when you get out, you get out.
Yeah, you'll get to eliminate some of those teams as you go.
Yeah.
I had to spend a lot of money on Jamar Chase, of all people, Drew, off your squad, because I needed some kind of help.
This might be a good week for you then. Maybe.
Yeah, since he gets Washington, Monday Night Football, one of two Monday Night Football games. So we'll get into the fantasy stuff here in the 1 o'clock hour. We'll bring back What's Your Fantasy maybe next week. We haven't done What's Your Fantasy in a while. Maybe we'll bring back a favorite and have some of our own fantasy football discussions next week on the show. But I want to talk some Royals baseball. Nine games, guys. That's it. Nine games to go. Three this weekend against the Giants to wrap up the home slate. Three against the Nats. Three against the Braves, who, are playing this afternoon. We know the Guardians are playing this afternoon or this evening as well. The Royals have the day off. You get swept by the Tigers. The worst case scenario did happen. We said on Monday.
Yeah. The only way to get them back in the dance for you is
that. We said Monday and Tuesday, you got to find a way to win these first two. You got the better pitcher, knowing that the AL Cy Young, future AL Cy Young award winner for this year is going to face you on Wednesday night.
Had a chance to get him early, and that's the only time you ever get a chance.
That was it, and it played out that way. Like that. So the Royals get swept at home for the first time the entire year. You could have been sitting first wild card spot with the way the Orioles are playing. You could have buried the Tigers instead. Look, we don't admit this is going to be a sweat now.
Yeah.
No more of the possibility to clinch on Sunday at Kauffman Stadium and have a little bit of a party. That's not happening on Sunday. I still think this team is making the postseason, but their margin of error has gotten thinner. Fortunately, I think the Twins are in big, big trouble. That's the team that should really be panicking. I'm not in panic mode, but I get the concern, and it is, you know, buckle up time here in Kansas City for the Royals.
Well, the Twins have been in a playoff spot even longer than Kansas City was this year, and the Royals have been in a playoff spot for better part of 3 months now. They got very briefly knocked out of a playoff spot at one point, maybe post All-Star break for like a second, and then we're right back into that number. So yeah, I don't worry about it. Now look, I told you I wasn't worried about it. I'm not worried about it. I'm okay. But I also warned you that if they got swept by the Tigers, well then the conversation's different. If you made me guess right now, will the Royals still make the postseason? My answer is yes. Has that moved? Well, I mean, yeah. What am I, crazy? The percentage chance of that happening? Yes. The only team they could have buried. This was what sucks. It's frustrating because they could have ended it. By winning two, it's dead. By winning one, it's practically dead. Because then you're three games up with nine games to play. If you would have gone 4-6, they had to go 8-1. You know, a million things. If you'd gone 3-, you know, whatever it is, or 2-5, imagine what they'd have to do. Or 3-5, imagine what they'd have to do. And all these things, because it's nine games, so I guess 4-5. But when you go back through and look at it, you could have buried this Tigers team. It could have been over for them chasing you. They wouldn't have eliminated the Twins. The Tigers would have still been fighting for their spot, done their whole thing, whatever. But you didn't. You let them get the better of you. The only good news I can take out of this is every other team, the Tigers are playing great. They've got the best record in the American League since the All-Star break. Every other team that matters around you, the Orioles, the Twins, they're playing just as bad as the Royals are. The Royals are not alone, I guess is the point I'm trying to make. The Tigers have caught up ground on everybody. The Orioles had an even bigger lead than the Royals have right now. So I guess at least there's that. Because as it sits right now, this weekend series is, of course, massive. Because yesterday was the most important game they've played all season, and they lost. So now they got to try to win 2 out of 3 against the Nats on Friday.
Yeah, we're talking about the 9 games and what they have to do and what other teams are doing, what other teams aren't doing. The simple thing here, though, is, well, sure, but also, like, the issues they're currently having, Those have to get fixed. Even when you got 7 innings of four hit ball, one run from Reagans the other night,
couldn't
the offense didn't step up. What, 8 double plays, I think it was, in this series against the Detroit Tigers. Mm-hmm. They're not hitting with runners in scoring position. Somebody else has to step up. And I know it's true. You mentioned this earlier. 9 games to go that, hey, your superstar, Bobby Witt. Superstar Salvi. Those guys have to carry him in this 9-game stretch.
I hate to keep asking more of them, but I feel like those are the ones who can do it.
That's true, but I still think for these games, and certainly come playoff time, who's going to be the other guy that steps up that is actually going to capitalize on other teams pitching around, essentially, Bobby and Salvi? Is that Massey? Can it be Renfro? I think Renfro's still the prime candidate for it. MJ Melendez. All these guys have been struggling here recently, and it's contributed to a lineup that is easy to navigate. The Tigers did it flawlessly. That has to change. Maybe the off day is good today. A reset, take a deep breath. Even though you haven't been playing well, you lost 4 in a row, you take a look at the standings.
Fine.
And you still
get to go to the postseason.
You still are in a playoff spot right now. Yeah, it's not like you lost 4 in a row and you wake up today and you're like, oh, shoot.
We have to
work our way back in. No, you're there. Take a little bit of a deep breath. And if you can get in the dance, then I think they really can relax, cool off for a second in a good way, and be fine. I actually think they'll play a hell of a lot better once we get to the postseason. But now the challenge is, can you get there? Can you hold on? Like, honestly, I don't care if it's, you want to phrase it as backing into the playoffs.
I don't
hold
think
on,
it is, but sure.
When you get there, you get there. They've had a postseason spot now officially, you know, in terms of the way it was trending, I should say, for 3 months, 2.5 months.
It's been way too long, other than March, in which they played 2 games and went 1-2. So let's just ignore that. They have had a winning month in every month but June. Now, they're currently 2 games under .500 in September. They had a 12-15 June. That's when they fell, as you remember, the furthest back from Cleveland, and they were 9 games back, 10 games back at the division, and everything was lost. They had a winning July. They had a winning August. They're even in run differential in the month in September. They're not just getting their ass kicked. This series wasn't even an ass kicking. Should have won 2 days ago with Cole Reagans on the mound. They got one run ball. Had a chance last night against Skubal. Big credit for Daniel Lynch for even keeping them in that game. They should have even had a chance in the eighth inning when they got the one run on the Bobby oopsie double and then had another guy on base, had a runner on first, nobody out, and then rolled into that eighth double play that you previously mentioned. They're not. I think it feels like they're just playing like complete ass, that they got no hope, that they're out of every game. That is just objectively not how it's been going. So it's as simple as just win a couple. If you win, same thing. If you win on Friday and the Tigers happen to lose, well, then that magic number is going to shrink from 8 to 6 in a hurry, and the Tigers are going to be looking at you and being like, oof, well, that's going to be a tough one to catch. If you just get one day this weekend when you win, the Tigers lose, and the Twins lose, well, then you're pretty much made, which is all we're trying to get to. I hate the position this is putting them in, though, because what this might actually do is hurt their chances to advance in the postseason. By making this thing a sweat, the odds of them needing Lugo and Reagans, who are scheduled to start the final 2 games of the regular season, has gone up tremendously. The odds of needing those two guys to actually win those games so that you're in the playoffs, not on the outside looking in, has gone way up. Now, there's still a chance you could avoid it, maybe, but the odds of you needing those guys feel so much more likely now with only 9 games to play, right?
The projections that are out there for Fangraphs, percentage-wise, so the Guardians, 100% chance to make the playoffs. Royals, still 89%. Twins, 72.4. Tigers, 36. That's the one where I'm like, wow, that's... I think the Twins are going to fall out altogether, and I think the Tigers are going to end up getting in. It's going to be the Guardians, Royals, and Tigers, not the Twins. And Twins fans should be the ones panicking, but they're still giving them a 72% chance.
Makes me feel pretty good. That was
it.
A team that I told you that I was like, they're better than them. We're like, and then we got into the whole argument about record, and I don't want to get back into that.
No, at the time, though, they were about to go 2-7, and I was like, against them.
I stand by my argument then, and I stand by it now. Yeah. I've only just been proven smarter by the decision.
Okay. Don't hurt yourself.
Thanks for proving
don't hurt
me
yourself
right.
Patting yourself on the back.
Said you didn't want to make more of a deal about it, and you're still talking.
I was just making a small comment about how I was right and everyone else was wrong. That's all.
The Royals were about to be
not a big deal.
I said if the Royals would have gone 2-7 against the Twins, which they were a loss away from doing, I didn't think you could say they were better, and that was the whole argument. They ended up winning that day, by the way, so the argument was invalid to begin with because I was only based off of them losing again. But anyway,
I think we could do this conversation again in a week and a half when the Royals season is actually done. How would you use Daniel Lynch in the playoffs? Is he just the piggyback to Waka or Singer?
If
they're the guy who gets in trouble, he's the guy they turn to that isn't, because we've said this before, they're going to let Reagans and Lugo go way longer than a starter might normally be given in a leash in the playoffs because they don't have the bullpen to back it up. But is he like the immediate handcuff to Waka? Or do you just say, this has been working really well? What if Daniel Lynch, say, only threw 3 outs?
I think it depends on how does this final week go, meaning, like you said, with do they have to utilize Reagans in the final game of the year to clinch a spot? If they do, all right, so maybe suddenly a pitcher is a little more worn out. You can only get a couple innings out of them. So then Reagans, is the guy that, Lynch is the guy that comes in and pitches the 4th, 5th, and 6th inning, kind of like what we saw yesterday.
I think it was like 14 or 15 scoreless.
He's been really good in the role. You know, I think it's pretty clear the starting thing hasn't worked out. But as a bullpen guy, a long reliever, but a little bit more important than just the typical long reliever where you view that guy in the past. Like, let's think about that. A couple years ago or a year ago, the long reliever for this team was, if he wasn't in the rotation, was Jordan Lynch. Or Jordan Lyles, sorry. Jordan Lynch. Where am I getting?
Who the hell's Jordan Lynch?
Somebody out there named Jordan Lynch.
Who the hell's that?
I was thinking Jordan Lyles, and then we were talking Lynch.
He's a quarterback, or at least used to be a quarterback.
Yeah, like Northern Iowa or Northern Illinois or something, right?
Yeah.
Oh, that's a good pull. Anyway, let's get to the random question of the day.
Random question.
The random question is not, can you name any other Northern Illinois player ever?
That was a long time ago, too. That was a good pull.
Yeah.
Jordan Lynch.
The only reason why that name is even in my brain at all is because I think he was playing when I was in college, and We, for our student radio station, went up to Northern Illinois when KU was playing.
Yeah, Daniel and Heisman conversation, actually.
Anyway. I did look it up, by the way. Daniel Lynch has not allowed a single run since getting called back up. So he got called back up. They put him in the bullpen. He's gone 14 and a third innings with a 0.00 ERA and a 106 batting average against. Pretty good.
Yeah.
Pretty damn good from Jordan Lynch. That was the only bright spot of the game last night. For you, Gold. For you, Drew. Over on the text line, 913-586-7965. Of course, you can hit us up on Twitter, Twitch, YouTube, Facebook. We'll take your questions over there as well. I figure I want to do something a little bit late in the game because the Emmys were on Sunday, but something television related because the Emmys just took place. And then what I saw was like these big list of here's the winners of best actor by year. So the random question I have for you today is I just want you to, it's actually just to give me a statement, but I just give me your television hot take. I'll give you my example, and then you can, and then I'll take yours at 913-586-7965. Good or bad, television hot take for the random question day. Mine is that Friday Night Lights is below average. It's not like the worst show I've ever seen, but the hype that that show gets, I do not understand. I think the head coach in that is kind of a bad person, maybe. Like, I know he, like, helps these kids, but, like, he's terrible to his wife and kids all the time. I feel like he's kind of rude to the kids. I think the show's fine. The acting's mediocre. Some of it's not bad. Again, not the worst show I've ever watched. I watched it the whole way through. Didn't just give up on it. But it's below average. It's not this, like, 10 greatest shows of all time, like people say. That's my hot take.
So I never finished watching that entire series anyway. Maybe that's part of the problem. But yeah, I'm with you where people have talked it up. Like, and I'm like, maybe I'm missing out.
They're talking about like it's Breaking Bad or Game of Thrones.
Watched a little bit of it. Never finished it. It was fine. Like, you would think I would probably... You probably thought I loved that show or something.
Yeah, I'd have thought so.
No.
That feels up your alley.
Yeah, I've only seen... I haven't really... Maybe one season-ish.
That's it?
Yeah. You've probably watched more of it than I have. Just never got into that.
Over on Twitch, Scoob says Jersey Shore is the best reality TV show of all time. Is his hot take?
Wow, that is there's a lot of reality shows to go through.
What's your favorite reality TV show? Survivor? Is that the one you said you used to watch?
Like all time? Mm-hmm. Yeah, but Survivor was like a 3 or 4 season thing, and they're on season 50 or whatever.
Well, I mean, it's obviously one of the greatest reality TV shows of all time.
I guess pun intended.
No, I mean, in its heyday, I would say the first like 3 or 4 years when that was when reality TV was still very new. Like, that was kind of the reality TV show. So Survivor will always have that place. Favorite reality TV show ever.
Richard Fox over on YouTube says Ted Lasso is overrated. Fight me. That's his hot take.
Hmm.
The person before him, Felix, said that that's the worst take ever about Friday Night Lights. Someone also told me I'm canceled for that take.
Yeah, I mean, people won't like this one. I think Seinfeld's extremely overrated. So,
that's a hot take.
And I know our boss is going to hate
that. I hate that. Are you kidding me?
I just never got into it, guys. And just never did.
I've tried
to go back and rewatch it. I don't know. Maybe I need to give it another go. I've tried 3 different times to watch that show, and I've watched, I think, 10 episodes, and I've tried to like restart it.
Stunning. Well, now it's dated. I think it's going to be hard to get into now.
But. Do you like Friends?
Not really.
Okay, because...
He doesn't like comedy television.
Oh, okay, because from what...
He doesn't watch Parks and Rec, The Office, he didn't watch any of it.
From what I've been told, because I love Seinfeld, I didn't get into Friends too much, but people who love Friends kind of say the same thing about Seinfeld, where they love Friends, but they didn't really get into that, so I wondered.
Someone says it's because I'm Costanza.
Hot take over on Twitch, Jesse says, Lost is not as confusing as people say. Have you ever watched that show?
I mean, I know about the ending. Everybody was upset about they consider it one of the greatest endings. People are upset about the Game of Thrones ending
But it doesn't dismiss how much Game of Thrones and Lost are the same way. I loved Lost. Loved watching in the moment. Did it end well? No. Does it take away from the episodes that I was completely locked into? Absolutely not. I mean, we got people over in the text line saying The Wire is overrated.
Yeah,
I would adamantly disagree with that.
The Game of Thrones things, people said it ruined the entire show. No, we all thought it was one of the greatest shows on TV until they screwed up the ending.
Man, someone said Seinfeld is overrated trash.
No.
Someone said 2.5 Men is very underrated. Never seen it. Never seen a single episode. Is that a show I should have watched?
Someone says any show. Yeah, I don't know. Background laughter is annoying. Any show. Yeah, that's probably part of it. I also told you I hated the cutscene exchange music in Seinfeld. Sure. Drove me crazy. Yeah.
From the 816, Parks and Rec is better than The Office. That's a hot take I actually agree with. You haven't seen either. Parks and Rec is a better show than The Office. It got better faster.
I have seen episodes. I have not watched the whole.
I don't know if that might be the hot take that I have. Is I've seen a few. It's not like I haven't seen it. I've seen a couple episodes of The Office, and I don't. I don't get the hype at all.
Yeah, see, I would rather just watch like TV dramas to begin with. I've told you, like, whether with, you know, there's obviously Law and Order is up there, but they're
like now, crime shows. You're saying,
yeah, but or like, yeah, they're even on ABC.
Like Narcos.
Narcos is one of my favorite shows of all time. Okay. Ozark. We can keep going. You know, Stranger Things is not a drama, but you get what I'm saying. Like, those are the type of shows that I've liked over the last couple of years, and I still think this fact you haven't seen Sopranos is wild. Wild, mm-hmm. wild, wild.
I see three different people, both on Twitch and YouTube and the text line, mentioning The 100. Have any of you guys watched that?
I have.
Any good?
I think I haven't seen it. My sister has, and she enjoyed it.
Hmm.
The 100, what is it? Is that a reality show?
No, I think it's a drama series.
Yeah.
It's set 97 years after a nuclear war destroyed civilization when a spaceship housing humanity's lone survivors sends 100 juvenile delinquents back to Earth.
Hmm.
Look, I do like apocalypse-based movies or TV shows. That genre does hit for me. I've told you I've watched like Silo on Apple TV, which I think might have been one of the most underrated shows of the last 5 years. I really liked that. I liked that one so much I went back and read the book. Well, the first two books, but yeah, that's when you know something's good too.
If you go back and you read the book, because
yeah. at my stage, yeah, maybe not for my wife who I think read like 80 books this year. I did not read 80 books this year. I won like I read like three, four. I get through like one every like 3 months when I like get into it, or when we travel, I got a book and then I finished it. Right,
man.
Someone said this dude just said Seinfeld is good, and not The Office. Yes, I did, and I stand on it.
So
Succession. Yeah, we had a whole thing on the show with Succession for a while.
Drew hasn't seen that either. He hadn't seen any good TV.
Succession was great.
There are a lot of TV shows.
You want to talk about a great final episode and ending to a show, just the way they put that together. So good.
I can't watch the 100 until I get caught up on House of the Dragon. I'm only like four episodes into season one. I gotta at least get through season one before I start.
So I never got into Game of Thrones like that, but I feel like in order to watch House of Dragon, you have to watch Game of Thrones first. Is that correct?
Yeah.
Okay. I just assumed.
I mean,
that,
technically
they're separate, but like, why would you not watch Game of Thrones if you're wanting to watch House of Dragon?
Yeah. But is this like the Better Call Saul thing, where technically you should
watch Better Call Saul?
Yeah, should I watch House of the Dragon before I watch? Technically, it takes place before Game of Thrones. Like, I've heard people say that you should. Like, if you were just going to start fresh, watch Better Call Saul. It's the prequel to, essentially.
Mm-hmm.
Watch it and then watch, you know, watch them in chronological in some way. I don't know.
Yeah, some of these shows, I'll be honest, some of them I've heard of, some of them I just haven't heard of either.
Yeah, this is why there are so many genres of television, right?
Everybody's got their thing. Thank goodness for streaming platforms. I will say, as chaotic as they seem to be, it's nice that there's a thing for everybody.
Every Bobby or everybody?
You can do that commercial
yes.
now?
Every Bobby?
Yes.
Okay.
Who do you think this text was for from the 816? You should be fired. Do you think it was you for Seinfeld?
Probably for me.
For Friday Night Lights.
It was probably me.
It was me for Seinfeld because it was the same person who I referenced in the Seinfeld text.
Mm-hmm.
Which, again, Speck loves Seinfeld more than I do, probably, for sure. So
I mean, it is one of the most popular sitcoms of all time. Yeah, I'm going to find a lot of fans of that show.
I think it's an age thing, but Speck, Vern, and Bob have like a little Seinfeld like inside joke circle that they've got, and they talk about that show all the time.
I've watched every episode of Seinfeld. Yeah. I like the show. I'll still catch a rerun every once in a while.
The three of them will have their little jokes about it.
The summer before I moved here, I binged it on Netflix. I watched every single episode.
From the 816, brace yourself. Chiefs games are the only TV I watch at all.
You don't watch any other television?
Man. What do you do with all the rest of your time? That's a serious question.
They go and they actually exercise and go outside and
good
do things.
You. Good for you, actually.
Build something, contribute to society.
Yeah.
Good for you.
It's one of those, like, it's like people like, I don't have any social media. I'm like, yeah, honest to God, good for you.
Mm-hmm.
I wish I was like you. Yeah. I am not, however. I am on too many platforms.
That's the random question of the day. Up next, Paul Charchian of GuillotineLeagues.com joins us. We'll find out who to start, who not to start in fantasy football. And then we go around the NFL with a little all 32 on Cody and Gold.